Shalom, Mishpacha. Shalom, family. Mishpacha is a Hebrew word. It means family. And we're the Mishpacha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation has come down to form that ancient Jewish anointing combined with the new covenant Christian anointing to form one new man, getting ready, Mishpacha, for the greatest harvest in history. And you have a choice. Do you want your status quo life, or do you want a God-invaded life? Do you have a holy, and I put that in quotes, do you have a holy dissatisfaction? My guest, Danny Stain. Danny, I am so excited about so many things that you bring up in your book, these Walk on Water. But in order for you to have become the man of God you have become, you had to go through an awesome breaking, which you wouldn't wish upon anyone. You had a failed marriage, children. You got possession of the children. You remarried. Everything looked good. And one day, your son took the two, youngest daughters on a trip to his grandparents. And what happened?
Well, actually, my son and my daughters were picked up, and they were in a hotel on the way to the grandparents. And during the night, my son was abandoned there, and my two daughters were taken for about 6 years.
Did he see who took them?
Oh yes, their mother took them, and their uncle.
So why didn't you had the papers, they were you had custody, why didn't you take the children?
Well, they had a 3 or 4 day visit during a Christmas break that they were supposed to have for visitation. And actually they've been preparing it for 2 years. We found that out later on, that they've been preparing for this abduction. And
yeah, I know, but why didn't you just get them back?
Oh, they were gone. We couldn't find them. I mean, FBI, everybody looked for them for it was a little over 6 years. We had folks in 65 countries praying for these girls. When they came home, I got thousands of emails saying, you realize this is not just a story for you, that this is a story for all of us and the restoration of God.
What would you say was the turning point? I mean, you probably almost gave up being able to find them, or did you?
Well, within a week, I had put up a website, which I'd never done before. I put up a website, and the Lord spoke to me. He said, they will return to you. He gave me a passage out of Jeremiah that says, your children will return. And so I knew they would come back. I didn't know when. And I held on to that year after year. And in fact, tried to help other families find their kids. Other families did find their kids during that process. It was I went through every emotion conceivable regarding the loss of those kids. I went through the incredible anger and bitterness, and really had to deal with some things in my own heart before I could get to the point of forgiving. And I did forgive. And in fact, a week after I forgave, my attorneys, whom I owed a lot of money to, forgave me their bill as well, which was quite a understanding for me of stepping into Jubilee, that in order to step into the Jubilee of the Lord, we must first relinquish that which we're holding, and then he will bring it. It was very powerful. Very powerful. I don't regret what happened. It was painful.
So what would you call the breakthrough for you to get your children back?
Well, we actually had an event. Obviously people were praying through the years, but a few weeks before this happened, and by that time I had pretty much reached the resolve of forgiveness and I had done that probably two years prior, where I wrote a letter to the family and said, just want you to know we forgive you, et cetera, et cetera. I thought that would bring them home. It didn't. But a couple of years later, I actually started getting phone calls from people, and they say, something's going on with your girls. We don't know what it is, but something's happening, and we're praying. Something is about to break. And the day before, my girls were returned.
Tell me about...
I have an intercessor. Her name is Deb. And she called me, and she said, you know, Danny, she says, I have to do something a little strange today, but I'm supposed to pray for you. And I said, okay. And I said, what do you have to do? And she said, I have to ring this bell through the phone. And I said, that's fine. I said, ring the bell. And so she rang this bell 12 times. And she said, that's it. That's all. I just know that that had something to do with your girls. I don't know what that means. And the next day at 12 noon, it was 12 rings, and then it was at 12 noon. I got a phone call from the FBI, and they said, we found your girls, and they're safe. Come get them. And I was sitting with two pastors, and I was quite undone. I was a mess. But, you know, that...
Had you given up at a certain point on ever seeing your girls again?
I never gave up. I never get, you know, I don't think we can ever give up on the Lord's promises. There are times that we reach points of weakness, and there were times in the incredible depression that and prior to that that I walked through where I looked at my dad once and I said, Dad, I said, I know the promises of God, but right now I'm hurting so much I don't even care if I get those promises. I just would rather go home. I'd rather be in heaven. And I mean that was one of the bleakest moments. So, but I always knew that his promises were there. I always believed his promises were there. And when it came to my daughters, I always believed that one day I would find them. They may be adults, but I would find them.
How old were your daughters when you found them?
They were 12 and 14 when they were returned.
Okay, and from what I understand, they were pretty much brainwashed against you, so you had a new crisis to deal with.
Oh, yes, and it was, and it took, and there still are still things we're processing even now, but it took a good, almost a year for them to understand what their daddy's inheritance was. They've been to a number of our conferences now, and they realize, boy, this is fun. This is the presence of God. We love it. They both minister to people, and the Lord's using them and touching their lives and healing them. But they didn't know any of that.
Yeah, but you know, I wanted to share this story because in this brokenness, I believe you had insight into how we humans can have intimacy with God, and we don't need to go through what you went through. And it's through worship. You have some revelations on worship. You were probably like the typical worship leader that would be worshiping God for all you're worth and look through the congregation and see the people in another realm, you know, thinking about what they're going to be doing today, just totally distracted and not worshiping and getting ready to chastise them. But you changed that paradigm. Explain.
I did one day, you know, having pastored for years and not just pastoring, but also being a worship leader and pastoring worship leaders, I understood some of the dynamics in worship, and most people who've been in any kind of a charismatic, spirit-filled setting would understand when you hit certain levels and where people are just carried away in the Lord. But there are other times where you go in and the worship team can be really doing all they want to do, but everybody else is still here on earth and nothing is really happening. And so we had had one of those mornings where nothing was happening except for on stage, and I was getting ready to say something to the congregation that wouldn't have been very nice, basically trying to encourage them, but really just through judging them by saying, you know, you, if you're going to worship, you need to do this, you need to do this, you need to do this, you need to do all these activities. But that's not what worship is anyways, not even to me. And so at that point, as I was getting ready to speak, the Lord says, "What are you doing?" And I said, "What do you mean, Lord?" And he said, "Danny," he says, "they can't worship." And I said, "Why?" He said, you're teaching them the wrong value system. You're teaching them that worship is the highest thing they can do." He said, "Worship is not the highest thing they can do." And I said, "Well, what is?" And he says, "Unless a man comes to me and believes that I exist, he can't please me. Without faith, they cannot please me. They don't enter into worship unless there's faith first. Danny, they don't have faith. You need to help them understand what faith is, because when they have faith, they'll enter into those realms where I am." And so it shocked me. And I realized that I had really been trying to teach them kind of the mechanics of worship, but it wasn't about the mechanics of worship. It's about the heart. And that the heart has to realize that there must be something that's going to demonstrate some, you know, our pitiful little songs that we get to sing here on earth somehow ascend to heaven and become these glorious things before our Father in heaven. And he gets all excited and he says, "Wow, I like that." And that's the goal. That's the goal. But that happens through faith.
You know, just the little bit you talk about it, it's a key, and I want to pick up here on tomorrow's broadcast, but your book, These Walk on Water, I believe that this book will prophetically call people into their destiny, and most have missed their destiny, just like your daughters would have missed their destiny, but God change things, and it didn't matter how bad it looked, and it doesn't matter how bad it looks in your life. God is ready to change your destiny, but you have to choose. Do you want a status quo life or a God-invaded life? As far as I'm concerned, step one is get this book, read it, and do it. These Walk on Water, for a donation of $15. If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape or CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's SIDROTH, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, or archives of our radio and TV shows, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.